Today our scripture comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. This is a second in a series on thoughts from the book of Hebrews, and as I said, from chapter 12 today. This scripture reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that does so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the privilege this hours of being in your house again. We're thankful, God, for your people who are here and for your presence that we have already sensed and felt. We just pray, God, that you would continue to bless as your word is proclaimed today. We know, God, that the Christian life has been likened unto a race. And it's very easy, God, sometimes to lose our energy, to lose sight of you. But we pray, God, that we would ever be focused upon you and what you have for us. We know that the world and Satan offers many distractions. But God, we pray, in spite of all those things, that our thoughts and our minds, Lord, would be upon you and what you have for us to do in this world. We know, Lord, if we finish victoriously, that you're going to give us an eternal crown. Bless in every way, we do pray. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Now, a few years ago, Rick Warren, who is pastor of Saddleback Church in California and the author of several Christian books, including, about the church and about Christianity, about the prominence of devoting ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that his organization did a study some years ago on successful pastors. Said these were pastors who were pastoring large churches that seemed to be very strong, seemed to be reaching people, and seemed to have a very bright future ahead of them. But he said that after 10 years, they did a study on these very same people, these same churches and these same pastors, and they said that what he found out was quite alarming, because he said in 10 years that almost half of these pastors were no longer pastoring the same churches anymore, that many of them were not in the ministry anymore, and some of them were not even serving the Lord anymore, unfortunately so. He said it just seemed that they had lost their enthusiasm. They were just not excited about serving the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. And for some reason, sometimes it was emotional reasons, sometimes it was financial reasons, sometimes it was moral reasons, but they had simply dropped out indeed. And he goes on to say in this article, he said, "What is true of pastors and other Christian leaders is certainly true of many Christians as well. Sometimes people can get very excited about serving the Lord, and I'm all for that. I'm not naturally a very enthusiastic person, not very emotional and so forth, but still I enjoy seeing people who enjoy worshiping the Lord and even raising their hands and doing all these other things. I think there's not a thing wrong with it. But I think the true test of our Christian life is not, as the old saying goes, it's not how high you jump, is how straight you walk when you come down." And that's very true. We must live a life that is consistent. We must keep our eyes and our hearts focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Warren said in this article, he said that we must remember always that our Christian service, that our walk with the Lord, is not a 50-yard sprint. Instead, it's a marathon. It takes a lot of perseverance. It takes a lot of endurance in order for us to finish the race successfully. And as Hebrews 12, verse 2, and another version of this says, It says, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to the end. And then finally, Rick Warren says this, to endure the unendurable, you must see the invisible Jesus Christ. Now, I think that Paul is a good example of a person who stayed on course throughout his life. And he said this, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the things ahead, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And certainly he finished victoriously. He served God in many ways. Unfortunately, his life was not always easy, but he maintained the course because he kept his eyes upon Jesus Christ. Now, our first point for today is simply this. We must focus on Jesus because, first of all, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ is the one who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, so says the version I just read a moment ago. But anyway, Jesus Christ was the one who designed salvation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they got together in their infinite wisdom. They got it together and they said, mankind has sinned. And of course, this was even before man was born. They knew that mankind would fall. So they wanted to provide a plan that mankind could be forgiven. So they devised this plan of salvation that said that basically blood must be shed, that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But it said basically this, if we would trust in what Jesus Christ did upon the cross, that our sins would be forgiven indeed. So Jesus Christ paid the price. Jesus Christ made a lot of sacrifices for you and me that we might have salvation. Let's never forget the position that Jesus Christ was in. He, of course, was God and is God, but Jesus occupied the prominent place in heaven. He sat at the right hand of God the Father. There he was worshiped. There he was adored by angels, by all the other heavenly beings. But he knew that it was his task and the only plan that could be devised for our salvation. Jesus knew that it would be necessary for him to come to this world, to be born, to live among mankind, to suffer, to be tempted, to be rejected by mankind, to be crucified on a cruel cross, and then to be raised on the third day. But Jesus Christ was willing to do all these things because he loved us so very much. 2 Corinthians says this. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. So we need to focus on Jesus Christ because he is the originator of our salvation. He is also the finisher of it. Now, the Bible tells us this about Christ. It said that everything, bar none, that God the Father wanted him to do, Jesus Christ did it. And it was not easy. It was not easy for him to give up heaven. It was not easy for him to be rejected by mankind and suffered all the abuse, the verbal abuse and the physical abuse that he suffered. But he did it because of his love for you and me. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. And therefore, he was willing to do all that God wanted him to do in order that we might be saved. So we need to look to him because he is not only the author of our salvation, he is the finisher of it as well indeed. So it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to do this, but he said it is finished indeed. Not only is it should we keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ because of what he did in the past for us, but we need to focus on Jesus Christ because what he is currently doing for us today. Let's never forget that he's up in heaven today and speaking for you and me. He knows that we're tempted sometimes. He knows that we have weaknesses. He knows that we have problems. He knows that it's difficult to live a Christian life. But Jesus is our advocate up there before the Heavenly Father. He's praying for us. He's interceding for us. He's asking God to give us his grace and his strength that we might have a victorious life, that we might finish victoriously indeed. So we need to to keep our focus on Jesus Christ because of what he did for us and what he is currently doing for us. Now, thirdly, we're also warned that if we do not keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, that we will suffer for it indeed. But we need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Fourthly, we need to keep our eyes on our focus on Jesus Christ because let's remember this, that sometimes life will deal us some great difficulty. This happens sometimes. Things can be going very smooth. Things can be going very easy for us. And all of a sudden, life for us can change just overnight, just like a lightning bolt out of the blue. This is what happened to Job. You look at his life, and one day he was the richest man of the East. The second day he was the poorest man of the East. One day he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and the next day they were gone. They had been killed in a storm. One day he was a very healthy and strong person. The next day it was all gone. He had 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels. And the Bible says that just one servant right after the other, while one was just, as soon as he finished speaking, another servant came in and said, "This has happened. This tragedy has happened." So one day he had everything. The next day he had nothing. And sometimes life can be like that for us. That's why we must focus on Jesus Christ, because he is our foundation. He's the one that we can depend upon. We cannot depend upon life. We have to depend upon him. And it happens sometimes. Sometimes your job can seem very secure, very stable, and then all of a sudden something happens and it's gone. When I pastored in Louisiana, there was a factory there that they made They made small appliances, Sunbeam small appliances, and about 400 people were employed there. Some of them were members of my church. They said that one day, they just without any kind of notice at all, the president of the company appeared there from out of state, and he made this announcement. He said, "In 1 week's time, we are shutting this plant down." It had been there for 25 years. It had employed a lot of people. But he said, "We have decided to close this plant, and good luck to you in finding another job." And of course, that was not easy for those people, but they had to endure. We can feel good. Sometimes we can feel very strong and healthy and all of that. But all of a sudden, we get a doctor's report or something like this, and all of a sudden, our life changes very dramatically indeed. Sometimes our relationships with other people can change overnight. Or someone that we love very much, someone that we depend upon, all of a sudden they get sick and they're gone. It can happen so suddenly. Therefore, we must indeed keep our focus upon Jesus Christ, because he loves us, because we can always depend upon him. He will prepare us for the pitfalls of life indeed. Let's always look to him. Then we need to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and I mentioned this just a second ago, because Satan is always trying to distract us in some way or the other. And let's remember this: if we don't focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we will our joy, our blessings that we get, much of the joy and happiness that we have in life in serving the Lord will be gone. This happened to the children of Israel as they were journeying to the Promised Land. The book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7 tells about they forgot to focus, or they did not continue to focus upon Jesus Christ and what happened to them. It says this. It says, "Do not harden your hearts as they did in the day of provocation." Then it says, "This is why I was angry at that generation, and I said in their hearts, they are always going astray. So I decided to declare my anger against them, that they should never enter into my rest." But he says this: they didn't enjoy my blessings. They didn't get my very best because they did not keep focused upon me, on me. But he said, "See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encouraging each other daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may harden your hearts under sin's deceitfulness." Once we have come to share in Jesus Christ, we do this if we hold on to the end, the confidence that we had at the first. So what does it mean to finish our course victoriously? It means we depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we focus upon Him, the world as we know it will lose its appeal. Now, you know, let's remember this, that Satan is going to throw things at us that will seem very appealing, very exciting. Just do this. Now, what do you think that about the apple or whatever kind of fruit that it was, the forbidden fruit that Eve, that was hanging there in the Garden of Eden? What do you think that looked like? It had some appeal to it. It looked very good. Satan said to Eve, "This is something that will make you very wise. This is something that will put you on an equal basis with God." So it's something that was pleasant to the eyes. It was something that appealed to her wisdom, her desire to be successful. And she said, "I think that I'll just partake. That sounds very good and very exciting indeed." But when our focus, and she forgot to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, but when our focus is upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon God and His love and so forth, the attractions of the world will all fall away indeed. It's kind of like a young man once who went off to college. And his mother visited him in his freshman year. He had just been there a couple of months. And she saw something first when she went to his room that did not surprise her, but then she saw something that did surprise her. The thing that did not surprise her was this. His room was in total disarray. Clothes on the floor, you know, books lying around, bed unmade, food lying around uneaten and so forth. And she said, "That doesn't surprise me because that's just the way he kept his room at home." But she said, what did surprise me about my son was this. She said, "I looked on his wall and there were several pictures there." And she said those pictures were very graphic and they were obscene in many cases. Several of them were. She said she was very disappointed as well as surprised. But she said she didn't say anything to her son. But when she got back home, she just sent him a very large picture, large drawing of Jesus. And then a couple of months later, she went back to his dorm room again, and she said this time when she went back to his dorm room, she said all those graphic and obscene pictures were gone from that wall, and that picture of Jesus Christ was prominently displayed there. So she said, she asked him why he did this. And he said this. He said, "Because compared to Christ, those things just did not fit in. Those things had no appeal at all. His picture was so much greater. His picture was so much better that those other things seemed totally out of place." And when we focus upon Jesus Christ, when we get our eyes on Him and do not take our eyes off of Him, the things that the world presents to us, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they will have no appeal. It's kind of like a young man that was dating this girl. She agreed to go out with him under one condition, that he would go to church with her first. Because she was a very dedicated Christian and he was kind of nominally a Christian, but not very dedicated. But anyway, they were sitting in church one Sunday morning and she was sitting there listening to the pastor preach, and his mind was, he tried to pay attention, but his mind was really on her. And he didn't talk to her though, because he knew that she would not talk to him and it would make her mad as well. So he just reached up to the pew before him, and there was some songbooks there, and he got a songbook, and he was leafing through the songbook, and he found a hymnal that said this, "I need thee every hour." And he just took the songbook and just put it in her lap, and he just said, "Me to you, I need you every hour." So she took the songbook, and she turned a few pages, and she turned to one that said, "I'd rather have Jesus." And you know, when we focus upon Jesus, the things of the world, they lose their appeal. I'd rather have Jesus. And by the way, I won't do it again, but I used to sing this song in church sometimes. I'd rather have Jesus. But it has a great meaning to it. It goes, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred hands. When we focus upon Jesus Christ, certainly the things of the world just don't have their appeal anymore that they once had, indeed. Number two, we must stay focused upon Jesus Christ, though, because, first of all, Satan will try to his best to distract us. He'll do everything that he possibly can. As I said a moment ago, he will make sin seem so appealing, so exciting, so thrilling. You've got to do this. You've got to involve yourself in this. And, you know, some people just fall for the bright lights and the things, for the empty promises that Satan makes. They seem so exciting. Your life will be fulfilled if you'll drink, if you'll get on drugs, if you'll do all these very sinful things. This is excitement, and serving the Lord, that is extremely boring. Just don't do that and go to church, because especially he says this to young people. But what he promises is certainly a distraction for us indeed. But we must focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because let's remember this, that he says things like this. Some of the distractions that he tries to distract us with, some of the things he tries to get our attention on are not always bad things. Sometimes he tries to take our attention off God by offering us things that are okay by themselves. For instance, has Satan ever said to you, and maybe he said this to you today, well, you don't really need to go to church this morning, because after all, you go every Sunday anyway, and they're not going to miss you today. It wouldn't hurt just miss one service. You don't need to go every week, because, you know, no use in people thinking you're a fanatic. And besides, you need to spend more quality time with your family. I've heard people say this. Had a lady once that said to me, she said, Kenny, you know, we got to spend quality time, and our most quality time with our family, where we really get together and love each other and express love to each other, is on Sunday morning before the TV. And I said, well, you know, Had another lady. And Satan offers this distraction too. Well, my husband, he works so hard during the week, we just have to rest on Sunday. We can't come to church. And by the way, they were faithful people. They are gone into eternity today, and I believe that with all my heart that they're with the Lord. But here is something that, here was their distraction. For the summer months of the year, you never saw them, because they were convinced, because her husband worked so hard during the week, that they had to spend each weekend on the lake camping and fishing. That was their rest time. That was their getaway time. That's what she told me. But you know, I heard her say to another lady, I just happened to overhear it one day, she said, you know, said camping and fishing, that's hard work. I just thought to myself, you just told me that you got to get away and rest. Now you're saying that, boy, that is hard work. She said, you know, setting up at the campsite and getting the boat in the water and doing all these things involved, etc. But, you know, let's remember this. Satan offers many things to distract us, but we must keep our eyes focused upon the Lord. One of the most famous dog training academies in the world is in California. And I say that because it is world famous, actually, because the military, the FBI, law enforcement people, from other countries of the world, send the dogs that they use in their action and so forth, they send them to this dog training academy, because it is so prominent, because it does such a good job. But anyway, one of the ways in which they train their dogs properly is this. They get in a large room, they put a dog at one end of that room, and they put the master at the other end of the room, and they put a plate of food in the middle. And when that dog, when it's released, when it learns to go to its master instead of focusing upon that food, they realize that that dog has been properly trained. Now, you know, it's the same that's true with us. When we keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, when we stay focused on Him, the things that Satan tries to distract us with will not appeal to us because our focus is upon Jesus Christ and His love for us. Number two, we must stay focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ because let's realize this, that our actions, our behavior influences other people. We all have influence. We really do. You say, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a leader, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. You still influence other people. And the people that you influence most are those that are closest to you, your friends, your family, your children, and so forth. Some of the silly habits I had years ago, and probably still have them to a degree, is when I saw Lewis and Kevin doing those same things, I said to Jewel, I said, my goodness, where did they hear that? Where did they see that? She said, from you. I said, what? But it was true. But we all influence other people. And let's make sure that we are influencing them for the good, for in a positive way, so that our life will shine before them, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Sometimes we influence people that we don't even know by our actions and by our attitude. Kind of like two men once who worked for the natural gas company. Their job was meter reader, and one was a supervisor. He had been with the company for several years. The other was a young trainee. And one day, as the supervisor was training the young man to read meters, etc., they parked their truck at the start of an alley, and the supervisor said, we'll have to park our truck here, and we'll have to walk this long alley. It was about 150 yards long, because he said, there's no good place to turn around our truck at the end of this alley, so we'll just walk up and read the meters as we go, and then we'll walk back. Well, they did. It was a long alley, and they read the meters, and they finally got to the last house. And as they were reading the meter there, the lady who lived in the last house, she looked out the window and she saw them reading her meter and didn't think very much about it. But anyway, once they finished reading the meter, they turned around to go back to the truck. It was then that the supervisor, the older man, said to the young man, he said, instead of walking back to the truck, he said, I tell you what. He said, I know you're younger than I am, but he said, I used to be an athlete. I still keep myself in pretty good condition. He said, instead of us walking back, he said, let's just run a foot race back to the truck. So the young man said, okay. He said, I'll take you up on that. So they started off. They were running at full speed down the alley and just going back to the truck. And they got nearly back to the truck, and they heard something behind them. And they turned around. It was this very lady who had lived in the last house. And they said, is there a problem? Is there something wrong? And she said, well, I don't know. Said, you tell me. She said, when I look out my door, and she said, I see people from the gas company, and they're running for my house as fast as they can go. She said, I get pretty excited. I think I better run too. Well, you know, people don't always know what we're doing and why we're doing it. Sometimes they totally misunderstand, but they may do the same thing. That's why we better, as I said a moment ago, we better let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We better make a positive influence on them. And the only way that we can really do this is by keeping our focus upon Jesus Christ. We need to focus on Jesus Christ too, because there's a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us from heaven itself. That's what this verse indicates. People are looking. People are observing. And I believe that people in heaven know what goes on, certainly the positive things on this earth. And they're blessed in many ways when they see us. But what the writer here is talking about, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, because we are being beheld by a great cloud of witnesses. People are looking on, and people have walked down the same path that you're walking today. They have run the same race, and they have finished it victoriously, and they are encouraging you. They're looking on at you. They're praying for you. They're wanting the very best for you. And you know, when we pray for others, I believe that that goes on eternally. I believe that prayers that were prayed by my grandmother when I was a boy, I believe that they still have influence on my life today. And he mentions prominent people here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the roll call of faith. He mentions Moses. He mentions Rahab the harlot. These people had faith. They did not always have it easy, but they had faith and they finished their course victoriously. And he says those people are a great cloud of witnesses around you. They had problems. They finished victoriously, and you can as well. They're encouraging you. Be encouraged that they have finished victoriously, because you can as well indeed. Then finally, we have to stay focused on Jesus, because not only because of this great cloud of witness, but we must lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. Every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. You know, what is it talking about by weights? When a person runs, they want as light of an equipment as they can possibly get. Now, I ran track a little bit. It wasn't all that fast. I was fairly fast, faster than most, but didn't win any medals or anything like this. But I knew this. I wanted the best shoes. I wanted the lightest uniform. Anything that encumbered me, that held me back, I wanted to be rid of that indeed, so I could run as effectively as I possibly could. And all the other runners were the same way. And what he's saying right here, lay aside every weight, lay aside every habit that you might have that influences others, that might cause them a little bit to doubt. And you know, sometimes we are very selfish in our habits. Say, well, you know, I don't think this is going to hurt me. I don't think it'll be okay for me to do this. And I've always done it, and therefore I'm going to keep on doing it. Habits can be very detrimental, not only to you personally, but they can be very detrimental because others are looking on as well. He's also talking about, I think, laying aside attitudes that are very negative. You know, our attitude is a very important thing. But, you know, some people that I know, some Christians I know, have a very negative attitude about life. And why would they? One of the churches that I pastored, I'll never forget, I hadn't been there very long, and I was the church leader now. Somebody said to me, you know, so-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, he is a good guy, he's a great Christian, but boy, is he negative. And I thought, surely not. I was new pastor there, hadn't been there very long. But you know what I found out after a few months? Mr. Negative, everything. He could tell you a million reasons why something wouldn't work. No, this won't work. That won't work. That's got problems. This has got problems. Very negative, not positive. You know, where's your faith? Where's God? Where's the power of God? All these other things. But negative, no, we can't do this. We can't afford to do this. It's just always. And let's never change the way we've been doing things because they're not working, but let's go ahead and do them. You know, keep on doing the same things you've been doing. You're going to keep on getting the same results that you've always got, and that's foolishness indeed. But anyway, negative. Sometimes Christians, they carry the weight of being negative. Sometimes Christians carry the weight of being critical of others. Sometimes Christians carry the weight of being judgmental of others. Sometimes Christians carry the weight of blaming others for their own faults and their own shortcomings and failures. Let's lay aside every weight, he says, and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set at the right hand of God. Then he said, of course, not only should you, as you focus on Jesus Christ to run your race successfully, not only should you lay aside every weight, but the sin. And sin is simply this: anything that the Bible says is wrong is wrong. We should never argue that. There's no debating that. If God's called it a sin, it is a sin. But certainly, the Bible says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you might obey the lust thereof. It also says this: avoid the very appearance of sin. If it even seems wrong, if it's, there is a problem, if there's a question about it, we should leave it alone. Don't do as much as you possibly can and try to get by. Do as less as you can as far as the world is concerned. Maintain a separate and distinct life from the world and everything will be okay. Sin is a willful transgression of a known law of God. So says one Bible scholar. John Wesley defined sin this way. He said, anything that weakens your conscience, impairs your reason, obscures your sense of God, and lessens your desire for spiritual things, that thing is a sin to you, and you must avoid it at all costs. And that is very true. Thirdly, and as I said a moment ago, lastly, we must stay focused on Jesus Christ to gain the eternal reward, to win the prize. Now, you know, one of the things about a race is that we see every day where it's a marathon or something like this, there's just a few winners. But the thing that's different about the Christian race and the Christian life is that everybody can be a winner. Everybody can finish victoriously. Everybody can hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many, to hear him say those words. The New York City Marathon is run every year, and it's one of the most popular in the entire world. Thousands, somewhere between 20 and 30,000 people run that race every year of 26 miles. And I think the record for the New York City Marathon is slightly under 2 hours. Now, to run 26 miles in 2 hours, just running 1 mile, and you'll see what an endurance that is. But there's a person that entered the race in 1986 that was very unique. His name was Bob Wyland. He was a 40-year-old man. And he was severely handicapped because he had lost his legs when he stepped on a landmine in Vietnam. But in spite of the fact that he had no legs, he entered the New York City Marathon. And how he obviously he didn't run, but what he did was this. He had no legs. He had kind of a device that he sat upon, and he would take his hands. He had running shoes on each hand, and he called them size 1 running shoes. He put them on his hands, he would lift up himself, and he would propel himself forward. Now, as I said, the record for running the New York City Marathon is around 2 hours. It took him 4 days, 2 hours, and 48 minutes. By the time he finished, a lot of people had already finished, gone home, and forgotten about it. But there were many celebrities there. There were many people there. The director of the entire event was there to welcome him. And he was asked, why in the world did you enter, with your severe handicap, why in the world did you enter this race in the first place? And he said, because it is the greatest race in all the world. And he said, I wanted to convince myself that I could run the entire thing. Well, you know, we're running a race. We can all finish victoriously. We can all win the eternal prize. And if we will stay focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if we'll keep our eyes upon Him and take our eyes off the world and focus upon Jesus and love Him with all of our heart, we can hear Him say one of these days, well done, thou good and faithful servant. One of these days, we'll walk into the gates of heaven, where there's no problem, where there's no death, where there's no heartache, when all the problems of this world are over, and we'll worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and be blessed by Him forever and ever and ever. That's the prize that God has for all of us. Let's keep focused on Jesus Christ to hear Him say that, well done to us one of these days. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Father, today we thank You for Your love to us. You tell us, God, that we're running a race. Lord, Satan is trying to distract us. He's trying to do everything that he can to stay, Lord, to keep us away from serving You. But Lord, we want to finish our course victoriously. We want to cross that finish line. We want to hear You say, well done. We just pray, God, that You would bless us in a very special way. God, things happen in our life. Things come in our life, Lord, but we pray that every day that we'd focus upon You, Your blessings, Your love, what You want us to do. We have a responsibility, God, because You've saved us. We have a responsibility to live our life in such a way that we would be a blessing to others, that we would help others finish victoriously. We just pray, God, that You'd speak to every heart. If there's anyone here today that needs to pray, God, because perhaps they've taken their eyes off of You just a little bit. They've lost a little bit of their focus. They've dropped by the wayside, God. They're not as dedicated. They're not as committed to You as they once were, God. We just pray, God, that we would, Lord, ever look to You again. That our focus would be upon You, that we would surrender our heart and life to You. God, with all of our heart, we would be doing everything that we possibly can. Lord, Satan is very real. He tempts every one of us. And it's the easiest thing in the world, God, is just to let down a little bit. But when we do, God, we deprive ourselves of many blessings, and we're not a strong witness for You. We pray that the Holy Spirit, God, each person here today would allow the Holy Spirit to look at their hearts, where they stand in reference to this message, God. What would You have us to do? What would You have me to do, God, most foremost of all? Have, Lord, am I doing everything that I can? Am I focused upon You? We pray that all of us, God, would be totally focused upon You, that You would bless us and use our lives for Your honor and for Your glory. As you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the altar is open if you'd like to come and pray about anything. If you'd like to come and pray, God is speaking. God is here. Do you need to come? Will you come? God, help me to keep focused on You. How's your focus today? Are you focused totally upon Jesus? How about it? Anyone need to pray? Anyone need to come? You just need to draw closer to the Lord. How about it? Someone else need to come down. The altar is open. This is your opportunity. If God is speaking to you, won't you obey Him? Who needs to come? I don't normally do this, but I feel that there are others who need to be down here. Is it you? Is God speaking to you? Won't you come? Who will come? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Is He speaking to you today? Before I close the invitation, while your heads are still bowed and eyes still closed, would you like to raise your hand and say, just pray for me that I'll keep my focus on Jesus? Yes, may God bless you. May God bless you indeed. Anyone else need to come before we have a closing prayer? Now, would you please be seated? Our Heavenly Father, we love You today. We thank you for all blessings. Pray God that you'd bless us.